What up,
dude? What it do, man? What's the deal?
Six Deuce with it. Episode 62.
Yeah, man. We out here another Friday. Everything good?
Man, it's Friday. I got a job. I got shit to do.
100.
You know, I am not Craig today, so.
You not?
It's been many times, though, I have been Craig.
You Craig before that Friday?
Man, yeah. I was Craig on Thursday.
Oh, everything.
When he had a job.
Man, it's been a good week, man. Today was a good day. Slow motion at work, you know what I'm saying? Slow motion. Make for a good day. Ain't never mad at that, you know what I'm saying? Hey. But, man, episode 62, we got guests in the building.
We do.
We got guests in the building.
Bring them on.
One of my teammates from college, my dog, fellow DB, you know what I'm saying? Mike Early. What it do, Mike? Man, we can't complain.
What state is he from?
He from Louisiana.
Okay, there's another certain accent.
Bro, go ahead, bro. Yeah, go ahead, man. Let him know.
New Orleans, Louisiana, you know, also repping the Baton Rouge, Denham Springs area of Louisiana, too, you know what I'm saying? So, the whole southeast Louisiana, man, the whole Louisiana, man.
Oh, everything. Yeah. We happy to have you, bro, on everything, man. It's glad, you know, we finally got you on here. We've been chopping for the last couple weeks, you know, coordinating. So,
yeah.
Glad to have you on here, bro, for real.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to be on, man. Happy to be on, brother.
Yeah, so you had a good week, bro? Day was solid?
Yeah, man, pretty much. It rained all week, but, you know, we still been productive on our end, you know, as far as the business aspect of it, getting paperwork and everything in order to do the things that we have up and coming, you know what I'm saying, with the Zone Early, the whole Zone Early company thing, man.
Yeah, so.
Send some rain to L.A., dog. We need it.
Man, hey, it's been nice out here. I ain't gonna stunt.
Today was beautiful.
Sunny.
Today was you know gorgeous. What I'm saying?
You know, the weather been good to us lately, but some rain will be nice. I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, you know, I'm trying to get back to L.A. as soon as I could.
Bro, hey, you a frequent visitor, bro. You damn near just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you not even a guest no more. You be pulling up.
Hey, me and my business partner, man, me and him took a vacation together one time. We was out there.
Yeah.
Dude, bro, like, he keep asking me to go back. Like, he was like, bro, we got to go back. Like, we got to go back. We end up going to, I want to say Venice Beach and stuff.
Yeah, bro.
Like, he fell in love, like, instantly, dude.
Bro, it's a vibe, bro. I ain't going to lie to you. It's a vibe.
Yeah, it really is, man.
You touched on this just now briefly with Zone Early Athletics. Go ahead and, you know, tap into that. You know what I'm saying? Let the people know, you know what I'm saying, what you into right now.
Me, myself, Mike Early, and one of my closest friends who I met when I moved to the Baton Rouge area, his name is Matthew Donnellan.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, you know, us being high school kids, man, loving the sports aspect of everything, coming to common ground, becoming friends over the game of football. Once I moved back home, you know, after the whole school thing that I had, you know, playing my career, me and him ended up meeting up, dude, at like a Walmart, you know, just reconnecting, exchanging numbers and stuff like that. So, as we, you know, got back, I guess you could say, cool into, you know, the movement with each other and stuff like that, we started working out together. And, you know, he was kind of like, man, it'll be cool, like, you know, if we really got together, man, and started doing, you know, some X's and O's because, dude, like, I still love football and stuff like that, you know. And he was kind of like, man, I know you went play a little further and, you know, you got a little more knowledge of the game. So, hey, like school me on something. Yeah. So, you know, so it went from there to, hey, man, if we had guys like us, you know, when we were in high school, our career probably could have been a little bit further, you know.
Yeah.
So pretty much it started like that. And the basis of it, man, is to give back to the youth. You know what I'm saying? Like Jalen always used to tell us in school, you know, you have to become a spectator at one point in time.
Facts.
And, you know, this God-given ability that we have to use it somehow. You know, he will take it away from us. And, you know, being a youngster, I always thought, like, man, I have to play football. But, you know, not being a player and coming to the other side of it, being a trainer, you know what I'm saying, still giving this knowledge to the young kids, still giving these gems to them, you know, and just letting them know, man, how far football has taken me in my personal life, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, everybody could achieve the same thing if that's what they really want to do, you know what I'm saying? So,
facts.
Pretty much, man, like I said, the whole basis of it is me and my brother Matt, man, just doing something positive and giving back to the youth, dude.
I love that, bro. For real. On everything. And it's crazy how you know, the universe kind of reconnect y'all like that. You know what I'm saying? After, you know, y'all went, you know, y'all did your own thing. You know, you went to school and whatnot. And then, you know, he did his own thing as well. So with that, on that piece, you touched on school and then just making that transition. So let them know, you know, I know. So let them know where you went to school at, what you did. You know what I'm saying? Talk about them touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Well, you know, end up like my recruiting process, meeting Coach Jackson, who was the head coach at, you know, Arkansas Monticello.
Yeah.
End up meeting him as he was recruiting me at UCA, actually. So, you know, he ended up taking a head coach job at UAM, and that's how I ended up there, you know what I'm saying? End up playing cornerback, and, you know, like I said, you know, I've been through the process from, you know, seeing you transfer from Fresno.
Yeah.
Like I say, man, being a redshirt as a freshman dude to seeing Hughes get hurt, you know what I'm saying, having to step up as a special team player, going through the sophomore slump from making that transition from safety to corner, you know, and pretty much, man, after junior year, once I really told myself, okay, like, we really have to give this, you know, a chance. Like, it's not about just you being fast or you could jump or you could, you know, jam somebody at the line. Like, you know, you got to have a playbook when, you know, you go down there. Different techniques, man.
Facts.
Know these.
Always have a plan.
You know what I'm saying? When you see this formation, you know what's about to come. Especially how much we watch film there with Coach Scott. You know how that was.
Right. Details.
So, once I really took it upon myself to really go hard, like, working out-wise and in the film room, that's when I kind of was like, okay, cool. Like, if it don't work after this, like, I'm cool. I know I did everything I could, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, and I know my junior year is kind of when I got into my groove of things, you know what I'm saying? And the game started to slow down a lot for me. At the end of that year was, you know, honorable mention.
Yeah.
With Jay Nick having a crazy year and Jay seeing all the things that he was getting, you know, it was kind of like, okay, like, I still have a lot more to work towards, you know what I'm saying?
And, yeah.
Being a preseason All-American, coming back my senior year, you know what I'm saying? Being an all-conference corner, first team, second team return man, you know, and all-regional honors, All-American honors, you know what I'm saying? So, like I always tell the little kids, man, you have to trust the process, dude. You know, I'm somebody who's been through it. Like I say, from a red-shirted freshman to having to get it out the mud, being on a scout team, mad every day until, you know, really seeing, you know, what the grind did for me, you know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I could attest to it. I'm a living testimony of that.
That's facts, bro.
Respect.
On everything. It's crazy, and I mean, just on that piece, you know, just talking about how you had to battle, you know what I'm saying? Different circumstances happened. Hughes went down, broke his ankle. Boom, you was forced, you know what I'm saying, to step up, you know what I mean? And you were, and really, on that outside looking in, but being right there with you, you was really in this space of like, am I going to play? Am I not going to play? Well, you know, I ain't going to play then. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, like, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm thrown in that fire. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's crazy because you also battled through adversity in your personal life as well, because you had just found out you was about to have your son, your first son.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you had all these different little pieces, you know what I mean? You freshman in college, you know what I'm saying? Football, school, and then, boom, your son on the way. So, like, on that piece, with the personal piece, how were you able to kind of, like, you know, maintain really your sanity, you know what I'm saying, to kind of navigate through all that? And then ultimately, like you said, once you got to your junior year, it slowed down, you know what I'm saying? Everything kind of fell in place. And, of course, at that time, your son a little older, you know, things kind of established with how you operate in that space, being away from home. Talk a little bit about that.
Freshman year, bro, it really was hard for me, you know. Like I say, just being 5 hours away from my house, from where I'm from, you know, not having no family, really in Arkansas, you know, not knowing anybody, you know what I'm saying? Emotions going crazy because, like you said, at the same time, I am having a kid. So, you know, I still want to be there for my kid, you know what I'm saying? Me, my family, my girlfriend at the time, and her family, you know, discussed, like, hey, this is a big opportunity for you, you know, for you to go to school, get your education, man, play college ball, still have a shot at, you know, something that'll better your life, you know what I'm saying? So, that was my motivation.
Yeah.
Honestly, man, like I say, every day I look at a picture of my son and be like, man, like, I'm doing this for you, you know, and it was hard, bro. Like I said, you was there, dude. It was from times, man, like I say, I'll Bro, you know, dude.
Man, like, I really had to have them them personal come to Jesus meetings.
Tell my kids, man. Yeah. Like, family, dude. Support systems, man. Like,
it's big.
You choose your friends, man. And one big thing I can always say also, it leads back to when you going through that recruiting process, you know what I'm saying? Make sure these coaches really see you as a person, you know? Yeah. And I can say that far as, like, our coaching staff who was there, you know, me and Coach Scott still talk to this day. Me and Coach Hill still talk to this day, you know? And it's kind of like, that's what I needed, you know? I felt like if it was just a coach who looked at me as a, you know, just a number, a player.
Yeah.
And not a person, you know what I'm saying? I think I probably would have been probably checked out a long time ago, you know what I'm saying? But, like I said, even having dudes like you, Marco, Croc, Deshaun, like, dudes who really cared about me best. Hey, man, like, we got you, bro. Like, you need anything. Like, it, you know, we don't have much either, but
we going to make it work.
Like I say, man, really just hearing those words, like, you know, it's kind of like, okay, dude, like, I can push through. Yeah. And also having people who kind of been through what you were going through and, you know, like, the upperclassmen and stuff like that talking you through it. Like, bro, I know it's going to be tough. Like, but, you know, we did it, too. We had teammates who did it, man. They made it through, you know, and the biggest goal is to get your degree. Yeah. So, you know, once we met that goal, man, it was kind of like, okay, like, it, all the hard work was, it was worth it. You know what I'm saying? It was really worth it, man.
It's crazy that he said the biggest goal was to get that degree.
And I mean,
and just putting it in perspective,
oh yeah,
this is an All-American. You know what I'm saying? This is somebody that did it, you know what I'm saying, was recognized at the highest level. But
for sure,
the first thing he's saying is his, the biggest focus, the biggest goal, the biggest piece of all that was to get his degree.
I know firsthand, too, like, that's all my family cared about. They couldn't give two shits if I played football. I mean, because I didn't. I mean, because I went to school on academic scholarship anyway. So yeah, it's not like playing sports was a priority. The priority was, look, maintain your grades so that way your money don't get pulled from you. And it's not about what you can or can't do on the field. That has nothing to do with how your way to, you know, getting paid through school is taken care of.
Right.
Show up to class, do the work, put a good faith effort and make sure that your money don't get pulled. Because if your money get pulled, oh, then we got to talk. Then we got to talk. And Francis was about to call me on that one, like, hey, dog, like, I heard your money got pulled. Like, I knew by then, like, we ain't having that conversation.
Man.
Because all he cared about was like, look, man, get your degree. If you get that, the world is yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got mine.
How to make it happen.
Also, quick side note, everybody, the homie from Touchdowns and Tangents, y'all have heard him on here before.
Good News Family.
On the BS episode.
He pulled up on us.
KB, Kenny KB. B, Kenneth, Frank James Berry on the saxophone.
What it do, bro? Welcome.
What's good, Tom Bendis? Thank y'all. Sorry I was late. Respect to you, OG.
King of Wings.
The story is dope. Yeah, King of Wings, bro. We going to have, like, a draft party there. I'm just put that out and... an
as
atmosphere.
A next week draft party?
Oh, that's right here, ain't it?
As yeah.
Yeah, it's on Hawthorne.
Right here down the street.
I mean, it's packed. Shout out to Pete. We was in there. Yeah, man. It's and I bought wings.
As you should.
Because I was like, one thing I learned in my life, you never show up late with nothing.
What flavor did you bring, though?
You got to pull up with something. It was like spicy honey barbecue and teriyaki.
Classy.
I don't want to go too hot. Cause that'd be disrespectful.
Yes, it would.
You gotta
it
go
looks for me. It would. I'm like, I ain't gonna touch nothing.
Gotta put up with a palate cleanser. Like, can't start on 10. You gotta get there. It's a roller coaster.
Oh, it is a roller coaster.
So, like, all right. So you know, you took us through the little through the mental space where you was at in terms of the adversity you was facing. Now let's take it back a little further. Let's go back to Denham Springs. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Let's go back there. So, you know, two sport athlete, baseball, football. You played early on, little league, baseball with Tyron. Just talk about your upbringing in that space and how ultimately you ended up choosing football over baseball.
Yeah, man. Like you say, me, I called him Red, but the great late Tyron Matthew, man, the great Tyron Matthew, you know,
we Honey Badger.
We met in third grade, man. New Orleans, Louisiana. You know, we met in third grade at elementary school called Mildred Osborne. Never really knew each other in the sports world yet. We were just getting to that age, you know, where things starting to get competitive. We were about in the 9, 10-year-old age range.
Yeah.
And pretty much, dude, everybody played for, you know, their respected parks in their neighborhood. Me, I played for Goretti. Tyron played for Willie Hall. Another NFL person, Trey Turner, Leonard Fournette also played for, you know, Goretti Park also. So it started with, you know, us playing for our respected parks, man. And then, you know, the all-star coaches pick, you know, give everybody tryouts. Like, you know, we want these three from your team. We want these two from your team. Everything like that as far as travel baseball, you know. And it ended up, me and Tyron ended up making a team, you know. And just on some craziness, like, between us making the team and going to school together, like, every trip that we had, like, we would take out of town for travel baseball. We would always, like, be roomed together with the same chaperone, too. So it kind of made us a little bit closer, you know what I'm saying? And so from 9 all the way to about 13, 14, man, when Katrina happened, like, that was our routine. Like, school all year, go straight back to summer baseball all summer. School all year, go straight back to baseball. Well, as we got a little bit older, people start doing a little bit more faster. So I was kind of like, hey, I don't like this baseball for me no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might need to do something else where I could kind of use my speed and stuff like that. So me, honestly, seeing Tyron shoot to the football world and seeing the things that he did, I was kind of like, man, you know, it looked like it translated easy for him. You know, hopefully it could translate easy for me, which it did. You know what I'm saying? Just being, you know, a God-given athlete, thank God. But my first practice, dude, I didn't want to hit. Like, I was scared to hit. I was scared of the contact, dude. And I remember, like, my brother just being like, man, it's just like, you know, another day in the neighborhood, dude. You got pads on to protect you. And I remember my first game, man, like, I finally made my little sack on a little corner blitz. And from there, it was just kind of like, okay, cool. Like, you know, like you got it now. Just figure it out. You know what I'm saying? All you got to do is just figure it out. As time go on, as you get more knowledge, man, you know, things will start to flow a little bit more for you. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, man, growing up, dude, in New Orleans, man, we had, like I say, Tyron, Trey Turner, who played for the Panthers, man. We had Lee Doss, who ended up playing for Washington Redskins. We had Leonard Fournette, you know, who played off Lenny, man, who just won him a Super Bowl.
Just got him one. Right. On a one-year deal, just got him one and resigned.
Right. I said, he resigned too, didn't he?
He did.
I said, because Buck said, we can bring in everybody back, except baby.
On everything. Hey, that's the goal.
Hey, that's always the goal, man. Winning's good, man.
Hey dog. Hey, once you become the king of the hills, like,
I'm chilling. I'm staying right. I'm about to be right here and ride it.
I say you ride it, but you not chilling because it's actually harder to defend the hill than it is to get to the top.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
But I ain't mad at him. Hey, you won your chip. Go ahead and protect that.
Had to get it.
Protect that Lombardi. I wish I won one.
Man, y'all for sure. Man, y'all for sure. Breeze some athletes out there, bro, like 100%.
But Louisiana, like, breeds athletes, like, all across the board.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, they breed a lot of black athletes.
And it's crazy because I feel like Louisiana as a state doesn't get as much recognition just for athletes. Of course, as we hear, you know, we hear the Floridas all the time. We hear Texas all the time.
California, Alabama.
Of course, California, Alabama. But just speaking in terms of the South,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Louisiana's not really talked about as much. But they produce a lot of athletes, a lot of pro athletes, you know what I'm saying?
And,
you know, they what was the school that what's his name and then went to? Out there near Shreveport.
Who?
What's his name?
You talking about Trey and them?
Nah, not Trey and them.
What position did he play?
AD.
West Monroe, man.
Yeah, West Monroe used to go crazy.
What's the school? What's the school that Joe McKnight went to?
Hey, rest in peace to our late great
man, yes, Joe McKnight.
I remember
you
Joe.
Could quote me on this, man. Legend. You could quote me on this. The best high school player in New Orleans history, in my opinion,
that you ever seen.
That I ever seen on the field, bro, Joe McKnight, he's the reason why I kind of also was like, okay, like, I want to do this.
I got to do it.
Hey.
No lie.
Hey, bro. Hey,
my first exposure to Joe McKnight, remember that show that used to come on MTV?
Oh, you talking about
the little I don't remember the name.
Oh, the one about Hoover.
Yeah, the Hoover. Yeah, bro, they played against Joe McKnight, bro. Yeah. He killed them.
What was the name of the school? Because like I remember the mascot is like the Patriots.
It's John Curtis, man.
Yeah, there you
go. Curtis. Yeah,
yeah, John Curtis.
I remember that, and then because I was in Michigan, I knew about him. I'm like, who's this? Who is this black dude like running all over everybody in New Orleans? Going to USC,
bro. When he signed at SC, bro, you already know I'm crazy. SC, I was like, what?
Yeah,
bro.
Because when he signed,
SC was going crazy at that time.
They was like running back.
Yes, they were.
They was running back. You, bro.
And they snatched at
the time. They had Mark Tyler. They had CJ Gable.
They got the best running back out of Michigan, Rojo, Ronald Johnson.
Oh, yeah, Ronald.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ronald Johnson a little later.
Yeah.
Because Joe McKnight older than him.
He came not the same class as...
I think he was with Chauncey Washington. As a freshman, he was with Chauncey Washington.
Because Rojo graduated high school the year before me. So he was a...
'08?
No, he was a 07.
Okay, 07.
I was 08. He was a 07.
Okay. Yeah, they was going crazy. When Joby Knight signed there, man, bro, when Ford was in the backfield, it was touchdown, boy.
Bro, I wish y'all could have seen him, like, bro, in high school, dude.
I saw his YouTube highlights.
Too easy, bro. Too easy.
Is that the same? That's the same school Jay Nick went to?
Jay Nick ended up going to, I want to say John Eric or something like that.
Okay. They the same colors, though.
Ellender, that's
what
it was.
There we go, Ellender. Yeah, you're right.
Too, John Curtis, the Patriots.
Both the Patriots. But yeah, bro, Louisiana for sure had some dudes and continue to have some dudes. I mean,
yeah.
We already see LSU booming. You know what I'm saying? They producing some NFL talent.
Oh, they definitely produced the NFL talent. Now, how they perform on the field as of last year was. Yeah. But hey, Louisiana produced Louisiana produced some of the best athletes to ever grace our planet Earth, and they gave us Cash Money Records. So I'm forever grateful for New Orleans, like. Cash Money Records taking over for the 99-2000. One of my favorite quotes ever.
Cash Money Records, where dreams come true.
Everything is easy, baby.
Everything is easy, baby.
Easy. Hey.
It's so special when a chick from Louisiana say, how you doing, baby? Like,
I wish Kelvin was listening to this so that his friend Chris could, like, just chime in on that.
Bro.
Hit my soul, bro.
Bro, hey, bro. So I went to New Orleans for my 30th, bro. I was out there, bro. That was my first time. You know, I ain't never been out there. That was my first time, bro.
I'm trying to go on the summer
though.
Dog,
how you like it though? Like, was it?
I loved it. Okay. Bro.
I feel like that about LA though, bro. Like, I love LA, dude. Like, I love it, bro.
LA is fantastic,
for real.
Bro, like the food, crazy.
Crazy.
The vibes, crazy. Yeah. Like, I wasn't even stunned. Like, I ain't care where we ate. I knew it was going to be good. Like, I knew it was going to be good. But it was...
Bro, you could
I trust all the food in New Orleans.
What?
Yeah.
I do.
It was going crazy. Went to Loretta's. Had me a few beignets. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Was not going to Cafe Du Monde. I know the real. You know what I'm saying? I know the real. But speak on Zone Early a little bit more, bro. Tap into that because,
me and my business partner, Matt Donnelly, man, pretty much, dude. You know, coach.
Do you want to coach? Or you want to stay on the trainer side? Do you want to coach or do you want to stay as a trainer? Because I see you be getting out there with them too.
Over into coaching, just on the strength of my love for the X's and O's of the game. You know what I'm saying? You know, following defense coordinators and offense coordinators and things like that. And, you know, just seeing things come to play, the X's and O's being executed the right way on the field, how you planned it, how you drew it up. You know, I think that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a mastermind type stuff.
It's a vibe.
But, far as now, man, like I say, the training is pretty cool in itself. You know, like I say, man, I respect all the parents and all the players who come out and really put their career, you know, in our hands to help their kids get faster, stronger, and things like that. And like I say, as a trainer, it also helps you, like, you know, you have to stay on top of your game, too, you know what I'm saying? You have to come up with drills and focus on what, you know, your athlete needs. No parts of the body, no everything, man, recovery, strength, conditioning, speed.
My boy, Brian.
Everything that, man.
Nah, for real. It really, no lie, bro, because, you know, and we done chopped before, like, in regards to the training concept and, like, you know, drills and things of that nature. It's really, and I don't know necessarily, and you can speak on how it is in the area that you train in, but I know out here, bro, it's so many cats that train. Like, it's so many cats out here that train.
No, bro.
Yeah. It's so many trainers out here.
I told my business partner the other day, it's kind of watered down. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the real. That's real.
It's kind of like everybody's trying to rap now.
Yeah.
And
no bullshit.
No, I feel him. Yeah, like, I feel him.
Fitness wave also.
Yeah.
Like I say, man, like some of the guys who trained out here are really just a lot of concerned fathers. You know, like who really just want their kids to excel at the best. And I don't knock that at all either. You know what I'm saying? Be a good father, man. Being your son, life is this the way that, you know, y'all communicate and get y'all behind the times. Like, that's cool. But also, like I see on the other side of it, I think parents, you know, also, you know, people who train those, you know, like who's doing it for real and who, you know, who's just doing it just to do it.
Just to do it.
You know, and that's like what I always say, me and my business partner, we preach this, like, far as us also. Like, we got to perfect our craft.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to do this full time, if we're going to take this as a business and really look at it, hey, like, we have to do things that's going to make us stand out from everybody else.
That's what it is.
And like I say, man, it's enough room for everybody to eat.
It is, bro.
But at the same time, like you say, man, it kind of put a damper on it because everybody's trying to do it now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, like I say, man, if you are trying to train, if you are trying to give back to the youth, man, younger athletes, I respect it. Just make sure you're teaching them the right things, man, different techniques, giving them gems to get them to the next level. And trainers unite, you know what I'm saying?
No, everything.
All of us have the same common goal, dude. And like I said, it's really just giving back and helping these kids out, man. So if it's a million trainers, I just hope it's a million good guys, you know what I'm saying, doing their job, dog, the right way. And that's how I look at it.
Facts.
So, Mike, I got a question. For you being, you know, a trainer and being in the position that you're in, being around the amount of talent, you know, that you're around, you know, day to day, month to month, year to year. When you brought up parents. How do you feel about that helicopter parent that's just like always giving their 2 cents when sometimes as a trainer or as a coach,
yeah,
as an evaluator, me as a spectator, you just be like, hey, yo, shut up. Like, there's people here that are trained, that are professionals, that know your kid's talent better than you because they have an unbiased eye, they have an unbiased opinion, you know. So how do you deal with the helicopter parents? If, you know, if and when you do deal with them, I'm assuming you deal with them because they're everywhere.
Right.
You know, how do you feel about them and, you know, the amount, the extra amount of interaction that they...
I kind of don't have to deal with it just because, like I say, those parents do bring their kids out there so we could train them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, they let us do our thing and they stand to the side. But on the coaching aspect of it, like I say, man, I don't try to say this to brag or boast, but, you know, Dustin could attest to it, dude. Us being in that film room so much in college, man, we kind of see the game a little bit different. Than an average person, you know. Some people watch NFL games and just, you know, see, oh, well, he caught a touchdown on him. And, you know, they'll see the cornerback, the closest man to him, and they'll blame him. But it really wouldn't be his fault. You know, he might be in a different coverage. His eyes might be somewhere else. And as a football player, you see those type of things. You know, we look at one-on-ones, what technique the DB is using when he's guarding Odell Beckham. A lot of people don't look at that.
Yeah.
You know, my business partner who played defensive end, he look at those one-on-ones and the different moves that those guys use as some pass rushers when they're going against them tackles. A lot of people don't look at that. You know, they just see the clear outside of the game. But like I said, you know, as far as dealing with the parents, if you know X's and O's, Like, if you know X's and O's and you can spit some football formula and lingo with me, like, I'll definitely give you an ear. Because, like I said, just because I played it and I did it don't mean that you can't teach me anything about the game either. You know what I'm saying? Facts. You being a spectator, you being somebody who just watched sports. So I'm always open for an ear. But like you say, man, if I give you my honest opinion and you can't live with that about your kid, because like I say, I have a son, and I know my son can't throw for anything. I'm not going to make him a quarterback at all, you know. But I know my son could catch, and I know he could run. So I'm definitely going to try him out as a wide receiver. And that's what, you know, I also want to tell the parents, too. Like, man, you know your kid, you know. Every kid is not going to be a superstar.
Facts.
You know, everybody has a talent. You know, everybody excel at their own gift and their own talent. But everybody's not going to be the football star, just like me playing basketball. I was athletic, but I didn't know the ins and outs of basketball, setting back screens and cutting and things like that. So as a basketball player, I was the sixth man, seventh man. And my parents knew that. And I was also cool with that as a player, too, you know. And even when my mom used to tell me, you think you should get, you know, more playing time and hit things of that nature, I just used to be honest with her. Like, Mom, I'm straight. I can run. I can jump. But I don't really know basketball like I know football. Yeah. And I think kids need to step up. And, you know, tell their parents, like, if you're doing your best and you're really trying, like I said, as far as giving effort on the field and things like that, and you're still not playing, then I understand that. But, you know, some kids who really don't put forth the effort, really, you know, don't execute the plays, they don't tell their parents that, so it makes it seem like coaches just not playing them. But, you know, like I say, man, pull me to the side. We're grown-ups. We can talk it out. I'll tell you my honest opinion. Either you could take it and, you know, we work with it and get this kid better as two grown people, which is the common goal, or, you know, you could get mad and get in your feelings and leave, and it is what it is, you know?
Straight up.
Yeah. I guess you'll just have to learn that same lesson with the next coach.
Facts.
And to transition from that, Kenny, you know, you evaluate college football players on a fucking weekly. You know, from your evaluation, because you go to the you go to the Senior Bowl because you missed the media man and shit. You go to the Senior Bowl,
and it's dope for you to see it to be at those events. Yeah. But you see it from like from a true perspective. And like you're not just out there just like, oh damn, like I'm amazed. Nah, it's like okay, let me see what they doing.
You see who's a dog and who isn't.
This guy's a true talent evaluator. So you see guys going from bowl games to the senior the Senior Bowl, and then they go into, you know, Mike's world, and, you know, they have trainers for X amount of weeks, and then there's the combine, there's pro days, which, you know, we're all wrapping up on before the NFL draft in the next 2 weeks. So even though we didn't have the combine this year, you know, KB, how do you feel about guys who work so hard just to have the best training, but that training doesn't, you know, correlate on the actual field?
Yeah, it's it kind of goes back to when you find out who's a dog and who isn't. Like, my mom, she was like an All-American track star in high school.
Shout out.
Climbing High School, East Oakland. West Oakland. It's West Oakland. But she, every year, she watches the combine with me, and she laughs at everybody's running technique. Because
track star.
Like, it's not a game. Like, she's like, they paying, like, a lot top of times, dollar. They paying top dollar for a dude to train them who ain't faster than them, never actually ran a race.
And his form probably worse.
His form is probably worse.
Yeah. His form is horrible.
Everything.
What they tell him is, it's like, okay. Like, that's why I love what Brandon Marshall did with House of Athlete.
Bro.
That was wonderful.
House of Athlete, bro. And then
is that in Miami?
No, it's in Florida.
Yeah,
I said Miami.
But it's not, my bad. It's not Miami.
High school campus.
I think it's in Jacksonville, right?
I forget where it is.
Is it Jacksonville or Orlando? Because I know he went to Orlando.
Yeah. Okay. But you know, and I'm sure we all follow hella pro athletes on IG and whatnot.
Yeah,
bro. All them athletes are gravitating towards his platform. They're gravitating towards his facility, bro. And it's dope for that to be your peer that created this space for you and up-and-coming athletes to train and get, like, legitimate perspective from. You know what I'm saying? He might not have even had the vision for that to be, you know what I'm saying, as great as it's been, as it's going right now. But it's a beautiful thing when you see somebody you lined up against or you lined up with, and they created this platform for you who, you know what I'm saying, you're still currently playing. You could come here, train, get the nutrition, get the fitness, you know what I'm saying, and get the playbook knowledge, the X's and O's, all in one place.
I've heard about the Michael Johnson Performance Center in Texas, too.
He's a legendary sprinter coach.
They put some real nice work in.
Yeah. On everything. Yeah.
And, like, with a lot of these cats, you see them, like, Penn State. I had on this dude, Corey Stacky, last night. Mm-hmm. Hardcore College Football Podcast. He talks about Penn State. He's a huge Penn State homer. I'm like, every year they have guys running like 4.35,
going 40s. Crazy.
Like, am I going? Well, if I can, I go up to Happy Valley and run like a 4.8.
Facts.
Like, and then everywhere else.
I mean, I would say shout out to Happy Valley, but you know,
but there's nothing there. And if Mike, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Was it a week or so ago? You made a comment about all these 40 times.
A tenth slower.
Dude,
a tenth of a second slower. Ever.
Dude. This is the fastest class ever. Like, ever. I think, even me seeing Terrence Marshall run that 4.3, and I love Terrence Marshall to death, dude. I think he's one of the best, you know, college receivers coming out of LSU.
Yeah.
But seeing him run a 4.3, I'm kind of like, dude, hold up, man. Like
4.5?
And I got something to say about this 40 time.
I think it's a new wave of athlete getting more athletic, man, to be honest, dude. Because even the high school kids who play basketball,
they moving
out of the gym now.
They move, bro. It's crazy.
So my national championship.
So my question to everybody in the room, like, the criticism I've heard about everybody's 40 times this particular year because it's not a combine year,
yeah,
is that, you know, they're not being timed, quote unquote, correctly. And I'm sure you've heard that. I'm sure you've heard that, Mike. And I'm sure you've heard that too.
Right.
Do you guys feel like that might be a thing, or no, like, it's just a new generation of athletes, and these dudes are just blowing shit out the fucking water?
Honestly, me, man, I think they're just blowing it out of the water. Okay. You know, like I say, man, all these teams and these owners who are at these pro days, hey, these are billion-dollar corporations. Yeah. So I don't see nobody lying about a 40 time. You know, these are kids who they're trying to get to their organization to win championships, to become franchise players, you know? So, you know, like I say, like Trevor Lawrence, like Justin Fields, like Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith. I don't think nobody's going to lie about their 40 times. Just because, you know, like I said, those guys are the cream of the crop. And we want to see.
And the Justin Fields slander I'm not here for. Never.
I think that
I support black quarterback.
I think it's wowing. Facts. It's wowing so many people. These times are wowing so many people because we used to there only being a few fast guys in the combine. You know what I'm saying? We not used to it being like shit 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cats that's over here running 4.3s, 4.2s. I mean, because
we're not that far removed from where, like, Chris Johnson was the only one that ran a 4.27.
And at the 4.24.
No,
and I feel like John Ross really beat him, but they just gave it to John Ross.
Hey, bro, John Ross went crazy.
But I've seen draft picks.
Nah.
John Ross went crazy, bro.
I remember
Chris Johnson.
He's fast.
Because I remember Chris Johnson's more than John Ross's.
Whose placement
do you see, though?
You see John Ross.
When he shadowed Adoree Jackson in the Washington USC game. With the Bengals, have you seen that play speed? You seen 4.22 speed?
Let me not stop, though. I'm going to keep it a stack. Because I think we had this conversation not too long ago in the chat about John Ross.
We did. It was within the last two weeks.
He trained at Luzinger, by the way.
Because John Ross is he's a Long Beach kid, bro. Like a lot of the kids that I've worked with, you know what I'm saying? Like, John Ross is like, you know how you saw Tyron, you saw, you know, Leonard Fournette, like, oh, y'all got out. Like, to these kids, he's one of them. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Went to Long Beach, Jordan, you know what I'm saying? He out here, you know what I mean? So when I see John Ross when he was playing for the Bengals, his first 2 years, it was mediocre to me.
Injury prone.
You know what I'm saying? He was injury prone. He wasn't really getting that many looks. AJ Green was still doing his thing, and Tyler Boyd was going into his own.
Is AJ Green still going back to the Bengals?
No, he signed with the Cardinals, bro.
That's right.
I'm using the Cardinals in Madden, just FYI.
Wait, what? Have you seen their offense? Are you serious?
They're fifth receiver, Andy Isabella,
bro. He ran a 4.31.
And he returns kicks for them.
Oh, God.
Let's be real, bro.
Okay, so wait.
Side question. If the Cardinals don't win the NFC West, they are blank.
It depends on who they draft.
I said, The Cardinals, as of right now, before the draft,
they the Browns of the NFC West.
Okay, that's one. Mike, what you got? If the Cardinals don't win the NFC West, what the hell are they?
Could I wait till after the draft to answer that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because it's really not realistic right now.
If they get Michael Parsons, it's over.
I'm just...
Because I think if San Francisco gets Justin Fields,
They're going crazy. So that's sickening. I've been going like dumb ham on the sports radio talk for the last 2 weeks. If I were to say that Justin Fields is going to San Francisco,
he is.
I hope he does.
I just had this gut feeling that Mac Jones is going to get drafted way too early.
He is. He for sure is.
He's going privilege. There.
But I don't think he's going to the Niners though. I don't think Mac Jones is going to the Niners.
I think he's going to the Niners.
The Jets.
And here's
imagine.
Screw no, that. No lie here, though.
Yeah,
Justin Fields is the best quarterback in the draft.
I feel you.
I agree.
It go Justin Fields.
Trevor Lawrence.
No, Trey Lance. What? Trevor Lawrence.
Nah.
I can't say anything on Trey Lance because I've never watched
him. You played against North Dakota State, bro. We didn't even see you run a 40. Like,
but I'm talking, bro. I'm talking skill set.
And since we're talking Trey North Lance, Dakota State, by the way, colorism, for all intents and purposes, is the reason why Trey Lance isn't getting as dogged as Justin Fields.
They think he's Mahomes, but more athletic.
They think he's Mahomes.
But like, with way less development.
I shouldn't say no one.
He had one game.
But not many people have watched Trey Lance.
He had one game this year and he threw a pick.
And my thing with
So y'all like Trevor Lawrence, huh?
I don't.
His best year was his freshman year.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
Like, he had one good year.
Who didn't play anything else but quarterback his entire life.
Yes. Yeah.
So this I feel is some like bullshit. He's kind of.
He's athletic.
Molded for it.
I think he's going to have a solid career. To be real, none of these quarterbacks, in my opinion, will flop in terms of career. I don't think Trevor Lance is going to start right away.
Mac Jones is going to flop. I think he's drafted too early.
Mac Jones is going to be the same as what's his name?
Ryan.
No, AJ. No. He's going to be very similar AJ to McCarron? AJ McCarron.
Oh, that's nasty.
You know, that's gonna, a bust.
I don't think AJ McCarron is a bust.
He's definitely a bust, bro.
He didn't get drafted high, though.
Okay, I wouldn't call him a bust.
But
he is where Alabama produces.
He's exactly where he supposed to be.
And I'll give him that.
And when
it comes to Mac Jones, the comparison based on offensive scheme, coach, coordinator,
Tom Brady.
No,
y'all gonna compare him to Tom Brady. After Mark says what
that's
he says,
worse.
Y'all gonna kill me for what I say about Mac Jones. But go ahead.
No, I was saying the comparison that I've heard, that's not nasty. My own, is Kirk Cousins based on him going to Kyle Shanahan.
You're not gonna win.
I'm gonna be real with y'all.
Well,
Mac Jones is John David Booty.
So he's uber trash.
So that means he shouldn't even be getting drafted.
Mac Jones is John David Booty, bro.
He's a 48 overall Madden rating.
Because you're talking about John David Booty. Like,
just because I'm gonna paint it for you. John David Booty went crazy at USC. He did well. He was a system guy. He definitely could have did well.
USC underwhelmed on offense.
He got his opportunity definitely. when he went to the Texans. He started a few games.
Who remembers that?
I'm an SC guy. I'm gonna remember. So John David Booty. He had his opportunity to start. He did that, and it didn't. You know, it was regular. He went to the Vikings, and he was just a journeyman backup. At the very worst, that's going
to
be Mac Jones.
But they got him going to three. Okay, let's. This is how I break it down. Let's just play this game. Okay. If you put Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields on Alabama's offense with everybody on Alabama's offense, Ohio State's losing 80-0 in the national title game, bro. It's not even close.
If they have either one of them.
If Justin Fields is the starting quarterback,
Justin Fields is on Alabama.
Over.
What?
Trevor Lawrence, it's over.
Yeah.
But Matt Jones at Ohio State is, what was that dude? It was a white QB way back in the day.
Joe Burrow before Joe Burrow became Joe Burrow.
No, no, no.
Chad Henne at Michigan?
No, no, no. He's Chad Pennington.
I like Joe, though. But I'm talking pre-LSU Joe, you know, he ain't really know himself. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I feel that.
You know what I mean?
Like, who's the white dude who won a national title at quarterback for Ohio State when they should? When they screwed Miami in that title.
He came before the QB.
The one in 01?
Yeah, I can't remember his name. But y'all know who I'm talking about.
He wasn't a pro. He didn't become a pro. If he did, it wasn't long.
But I'm saying,
he was a combination.
He was after Troy Smith.
No, it was before Troy Smith.
Mac Jones is an amalgamation of having the all-time leading rusher in Alabama's history behind you.
The receiver.
Four first-round picks at receiver.
Defense going crazy. And their defense wasn't even the best.
Right, that's the thing.
Their left tackle who ran like a 4.8
But that's the thing about All-American. That's the thing about Alabama offensive players outside of their linemen. And Julio Jones.
Tua looking like mid. There, I said it.
Like, no.
Tua looking like mid.
Because when you're at Alabama and you're playing with an NFL offensive line at the college level and you're running through everybody.
Your weaknesses are hidden.
It's hidden and, hell, shit, like you just, like. You're on easy street. For however many years you're a starter.
Listen, bro.
Everybody's trying to compare him to Tom Brady. And everybody missed on Tom Brady.
At Alabama, the thing that makes it so appealing, and I briefly checked out Alvin Kamara's interview with Uncle Shannon.
That was dope.
I briefly watched it.
Seven running backs in one room team.
And that's what I was about to go to. Every running back in that room
is in the league.
Every single running back in that room.
Pro bowler.
To take it even further.
Minimum.
2011, when Tyron was a freshman at LSU, every DB in that room made it to the league.
Facts.
Crazy.
Because he was here with Peterson, P2.
Reed, Tyron.
Claiborne.
Yeah. Claiborne went to Dallas.
Pat P.
Ron Brooks, who made it. Oh, yeah. Damn, Ron
Brooks. Didn't he break his neck and come back?
And then Jalen, what's his name, that played for the Eagles?
Jalen Mills.
Jalen Mills.
They've been, they had some dogs, man.
Damn, that's fact. I didn't even think about that.
They had two Jalens who made it.
It was Mills.
Mills and a dude who played in the XFL.
It was Jalen Collins who went to the Falcons.
Yep, facts. They said he might be a safety, but it's like if you look at, I think it's only probably about five can't miss dudes in this draft. Fields,
Lawrence,
Penei Sewell. I don't care that he's 6'4". His arms aren't 35 inches.
Sewell,
he didn't give up
crazy.
A sack. He only gave up two sacks in 3 years.
No lie, bro. For the longest, I thought he played D-tackle.
Bro, he's like the Samoan Joe Thomas. He's looking like it.
Nah, for real.
His resume lines up with that.
Yeah.
Parkett Parsons, like, going back to Penn State, like, Jason Oway ran a 4.37, 4.39.
Oh, the linebacker.
No, he's defensive end, 6'5", 240, running a 4.37.
Like, crazy.
Micah Parsons, he was a top-rated linebacker. Coming out of high school, ran a 4.39, fastest linebacker in Penn State history, and people were saying, "Oh, he might not be this, he might be that." But if you look at all the linebackers in the league,
yeah,
who are elite and young, they all ran 4.4s. Deion Jones,
that's the first
Raiders passed
say.
On him. By the way, I'm still mad Stupid. About that. They Stupid. Pass on LSU DBs and linebackers, except
the Falcons love LSU. The Bengals love LSU.
Facts.
The Redskins love LSU.
Man, I just think about it. You just look at Deion Jones and you look at, Devin White.
Devin White. They the same player.
Ran a 4.41. Stupid.
Can't forget about Patrick Queen at the Raiders.
Patrick Queen, bro.
That's
Patrick
the next
Queen
one.
Too.
Didn't he lead the league in tackles as a rookie?
As a rookie, bro. Yeah. Went crazy.
Ran a 4.5.
Went crazy. Patrick Queen.
You look at all these LSU linebackers. And it's a common theme between a lot of them. They were Katrina kids.
Yeah.
So.
And then.
To pass on those guys is stupid.
And I know y'all seen Bleacher Report has Chase been doing this thing trying to see who's the best, what school basically produces the best position. And of course they did.
They do that shit every year.
They did linebackers.
USC, you should just.
They did linebackers early this week. They had LSU on there, Alabama, Mississippi, no, this DNs. They had LSU, Mississippi State, Alabama. Florida? Was it Florida or Miami?
Florida should be up there. Florida Miami ain't
sure.
had nothing.
Yeah,
the
Florida should for Florida sure be on there. Florida has to be up there. But you could say it might be a school that might have produced more cats in the NFL. They might have 6-7 kids that went to the NFL. But if you keep it a stack between LSU and Alabama being, you know, in terms of most notable in terms most of like winning, they have the most that actually like thrive in the league, especially LSU and Alabama. Like they stay.
Said, man, when it comes to even like I said, you looking at LSU coaches and stuff, dude. They're real detailed, dude.
Yeah,
real detailed, and that's what I honestly think it is. Like really getting your fundamentals down. Like I told you, man, me coming to college, dude, I was just a raw athlete.
Yeah,
I didn't understand. Everything I wanted to do was press man when I played man. I didn't understand, hey, bro, you can play off man. You could go down and press bell, you know, just to switch it up. And yeah. I think their coaches do a real good job of teaching them back more so than, you know, just worrying about winning the game, you know. So I feel like once they build them fundamentals and teach you how to be a pro, really, around across the board, you know what I'm saying, how to carry yourself and things like that also, you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, man, them boys putting them in there. Like I say, man, hopefully my sons get that offer, man, when they get old enough. You know?
What? On everything.
LSU two stars make it to the league. Jefferson was a two-star recruit.
Hey, Jesse.
Sean Jefferson's son, right?
Huh?
Sean.
I don't know his daddy, but I know his brother.
His brother was a QB Jordan Jefferson.
Yeah.
No, because, well, the one that did go to, it was either LSU or Florida because it was like two brothers.
Van Jefferson?
Yeah.
That's not
his dad played in the league. I don't know.
They're not related.
His dad is a Rams receivers coach.
Yeah. He was the receivers coach with the Lions when I was an intern.
Oh, okay.
That's why I knew his dad.
Real quick, though, before we go to some NBA talk, I want to get your take on J.C. Horn.
Hey, man. Hey, at first I was kind of a non-believer.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was hype. But me really going to watch his film and break his one-on-ones down, even seeing Croc did something on him also.
He did. He did do a piece.
It's like 1A and 1B between Sertan and him right now.
Man, because past Sertan, Cole.
Asante Samuel's son.
Asante Samuel, not bad either.
Probably
bro.
Four corners are going for sure.
Yeah, on everything.
Kayla Ferry.
I think J.C. Horn is that guy. If the Cowboys pass on Patrick Sertan,
they tripping.
If Patrick Sertan's gone already, I feel like J.C. Horn should be that next guy off the board if they have a chance to get him.
On everything.
His pro day was ridiculous.
Bro, I watched the whole tape. He went crazy. On the bench, he hit 19.
Like yeah, dog.
That's what I was watching. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was watching the same joint.
Joe Horn's son. That's he a dog.
I didn't even know that was his son, bro, until I watched the little special.
Word.
Yeah.
The cell phone.
The cell phone.
He has a flip phone.
I knew who Jay Horn was. I ain't gonna stop. I knew him.
Used to give out the Saints tickets for free, man, when I was in elementary school.
For real?
Oh, that's dope.
The bags on our heads, you know. So that's why I never really liked the Saints. Everybody always asked me how I end up liking the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm a Raiders fan, and the Tuck rule hurts
the
my feelings.
Make so many people mad in my city, bro.
Hype. All right, so I got two players to ask him about. even though he's not a Saints fan, which I totally understand. I got off the Detroit Lions narcotic a long time ago. But how do you feel about Drew Brees and now that he's retired and Reggie Bush?
Oh yeah.
Hey, what did he say? One more time.
He said, how you feel about Drew Brees retiring, and then how you feel about Reggie Bush?
Both of them won your Super Bowl.
Like I say, Reggie Bush. Let's start with him. Reggie Bush.
He
got Reggie Bush. I went crazy.
His volume went down. Tell him to turn his Wi-Fi off.
Mike, your volume went down.
Like, all the way. There you go.
There you go.
You back. Yep, you good.
Yeah, man. Like I say, in my opinion, Reggie Bush was the greatest college football player ever. So, having him in New Orleans. In my opinion, dude.
Charles Woodson,
for
number
me,
two.
What I watched in college football, me, Michael Early, I got to go with Reggie, dude. I got he just banged on that second. Field, man. That hey,
defensive
that I never seen, bro.
Dog, like Reggie say, was a dog.
seeing him come to New Orleans, though, like, that was pretty dope. As far as Drew Brees, though, like I say, man, Drew Brees had a nice career. He did a lot of things for the city, as far as bringing them a Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying, and putting the Saints on the map.
Yeah.
Like I say, even as I told you back in the gap, man, like, we were really wearing bags on our hands, dude, because the Saints were really that horrible. And just to see them, you know, turn into big dogs and
Aaron Brooks,
man, like, it's crazy, you know.
Deuce McAllister.
So respect to Drew Brees also, man, for doing what he did for the whole city and the organization of the Saints, you know.
Facts.
Who's a better receiver, Marcus Colster or Michael Thomas?
Oh,
based
damn.
Off the
Michael said, Thomas,
Dak Prescott had more touchdowns than Michael Thomas.
His routes were better to me.
I'm gonna say who do you?
When was the seventh round pick though?
Who do you think means more in that era? Because I think I ain't gonna stunt, bro. I feel like
Hofstra.
I feel like Marcus Colston was the franchise.
And then he got hurt.
Never made a Pro Bowl.
Like I say, man, he was on that wave,
but he got hurt.
Also, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That transitioning in New Orleans into the powerhouse, and he definitely held his own. You know, I know they still show him love out there too. Because, like you say, if you really think about it, he was low key the Michael Thomas before the Michael Thomas.
Exactly,
but
bro. He set the precedent.
Out of the two, I'm gonna go new school with Michael Thomas. Me,
I respect that.
Just because, like I said, he got a little more sauce with him. You know, coming off the line, create separation and stuff like that.
I respect that.
He a tick faster.
Yeah,
4'6" versus like a 4'5"-8".
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
Keyshawn's
definitely differences
in real life.
That's Keyshawn's nephew. That's why he's going to USC.
Yeah, that's really his nephew.
They didn't want to offer to him out of USC because they're like, we don't know Keyshawn.
Like, if there was one time to use the like family and friends privilege, it should have been on him.
But I'm gonna be real though. If no bull.
Wait, which high school did you go to out here?
Not Cathedral.
I'm curious.
He went to high school out here?
He went to high school.
Yeah, he's from California.
He's from the city? I had no clue.
Not
Mike
Cathedral.
Thomas, bro. Because
he didn't get a USC offer.
Google it.
I had no clue. Damn. But I'm going to be real.
Started with a C, though.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if Mike would have really sort of feel like that at SC during the time he was in college.
They don't use their receivers or their running backs, right? Their offense is in disarray.
Since Pete Carroll, they haven't been the same.
Deontay Burnett went crazy at SC.
But he was a blue shirt.
He went to Tav Charter High School.
There you go.
He went to Tav? Oh, yeah. Same as Steve Smith. Yeah, same as Steve Smith. I played against Malcolm Smith.
He went to Dominguez, right?
He went to Tav.
Oh, he went to Tav, yep.
But then he went to Fork Union Military Academy.
Oh, so he went to prep school.
After
high school, of course. Yeah. I didn't know Mike Thomas was from the city.
Oh. Yep.
I had no clue.
All right. Because Mike Thomas was born in 93, by the way.
Now,
He definitely did that prep school shit.
He went to prep school. But you know who else went to prep school? LeSean McCoy.
Fitzgerald, too.
Fitz went, too? Yeah, see?
His grades were bad coming out of high school.
But,
Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Then he went to Pittsburgh.
Because that's why LeSean McCoy came out as a sophomore, because he went to prep school. He played 1 year at Pitt.
Yeah, because you got 3 years removed from high school instead of...
And I ain't going to stunt. Only because we just mentioned LeSean McCoy, bro.
Hall of Famer.
What?
You're a Hall of Famer.
I don't think... Okay. Scratch what I was about to say.
Best back.
Julian Edelman.
No, hell no.
Julian Edelman.
That's
reverse racism. You a Patriots fan.
That's not a Hall of Famer.
36 career touchdowns.
He's not a Hall of Famer, bro.
No, he's not.
He's not.
36. Dwayne Bowe got 7,700 receiving.
Hey, and I saw Dwayne Bowe in person. Valid.
If I had to put him on there, Chad Ochocinco's not there.
Steve Smith's not there.
Some of the
Steve
guys.
Is what? There, bro. Steve Smith's going to be Hall of Fame.
Troy Brown got more.
Julian Edelman, bro. But his a lot of guys ain't going to play.
It went crazy.
Too. I think he gets in on the strength of Brady.
No!
Then he's not a Hall of Fame.
Not first ballot, though. But if I had to choose, I don't think...
How is Warren not in the Hall of Fame? He got more...
He broke a man's jaw.
Bro.
Repeated jaws. We don't know how many jaws
I'm
going
to be real. I'm going to be real.
The Mike Tyson, the receivers.
Julian Edelman is not getting in. Steve Smith is, and at some point Chad is, but Chad gonna be like 50 by the time he get in.
Chad's not going.
Chad need
I
to
think,
be in.
I think Chad gonna get in. Sweet like at, when he a senior citizen, like he get in.
At the dead end. The fact, okay, but Chad, it's gonna be a while before. When the hell is Chad? I know Chad was already.
He was nominated.
I know he's eligible.
But he was just nominated.
He's got better numbers than Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
It's a lot of receivers that got better numbers than
Chad. But
Michael Irvin played on the Cowboys. Chad Johnson legacy. Played on the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
What's crazy is that I didn't realize Brandon Marshall's numbers was what they are.
Filthy.
Because to keep it a stack,
he's not going.
He did some damage. To keep it a stack.
Fifth, sixth round pick?
If we just purely going on stats, Brandon Marshall should be in.
Yeah, but Rod Smith is in the same boat.
The thing about receivers.
It's a log jam, but it's a bogus log jam.
My thing with the receivers is it's not receiver. Okay, specialty positions excluding running back.
What are specialty positions? Because I'm thinking
Devin Hester's a Hall of Famer.
I'm thinking kickers. I'm thinking returners. I'm thinking long snappers.
All the positions that we love
except
to play.
Long snappers.
Skills.
Yes, yeah, skill position. Yes.
Okay.
Long I should say specialty.
Skills. That's why I was tripping. I was like.
Okay. So, like, the receiver position. Within the skills position group,
yeah,
it's the most harshly criticized, and it's hard. It's the hardest one to make it in because your job is based on so many different people. But then at the same time, because of the perception that comes with you being a wide receiver, if you're good to the media, and I'm using air quotes for people that ain't watching,
yeah,
then you probably might end up walking in that motherfucker. Compared to being a T.O. where they took forever to get him in, he should have been the first.
That was awesome.
That's why you can't let Edelman in.
But you couldn't. His stats were so crazy, you couldn't really blackball him for real.
Right. But being a wide receiver, it's if you are a wide receiver and you have great stats and you play along, again, using air quotes.
Julian Edelman is not getting in.
I'm not saying he is. He shouldn't in my book.
His teammate, Troy Brown, has better numbers than him.
Yes,
and
bro.
And he's never made a Pro Bowl.
Come on, Al.
In a discussion.
Yeah, Julian Edelman is not getting in.
And Tom Brady force-fed him the ball in the playoffs.
Bro.
He's a slot receiver. He was going against linebackers and regular nickel corners.
Regular season, he was probably averaging 3 catches a game, bro.
Yeah. Like I say, bro, he got 6,000
career yards. You
and
got
36
you
play, touchdowns you play, in 12 years.
You played 12 years. You got 6,000 yards, bro.
That's 3 touchdowns
a year. As a starter.
And you never had more than 7 touchdowns in a season.
Come on now.
Man, I seen something online where they were kind of like, his story will make a great movie, though.
It would. It for sure would.
Don't.
There's a lot of people that would make a great movie.
Yeah, like you say, far as that Hall of Fame... Nah, I don't think.
They compared him to Calvin Johnson.
What? Who?
I was pissed.
They compared who to Calvin Johnson?
Yeah, side by side. Which career would you rather have? I was like, oh, hell no.
Wait. Who they compared to Calvin Johnson?
Go on my Facebook page. You'll see it. They said Julian Edelman.
Hey,
I'm like, first off,
hell no.
Clint Branch is a Hall of Fame receiver. He had almost 9,000 yards receiving in the 80s.
You put Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame, bro. You know how many mediocre
don't matter.
You know exactly. You know how many mediocre receivers you got throwing out.
If Julian Edelman goes into the Hall of Fame,
you got to put Giant Steve Smith in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, you know what's crazy?
That's funny.
Dwayne Bowe out of LSU.
Hey,
career receiving yards 7,705.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah.
He has more receiving yards,
and
in
he played
nine,
like 4 years.
9 years. And you won't even count the Cleveland year. Don't count Cleveland.
Yeah.
So 8 years. He played. Brandon
That's
Edwards
he did
got
go to Cleveland.
Yeah, Brandon. Yeah, if you put Julian Edelman in the league. Brandon got to go. You got to throw Brandon Edwards in that hole.
He led the league in receiving touchdowns.
Because this is the thing. If you put Julian Edelman in, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as it is officially called, becomes the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Throw in Ricky Williams. Throw in Wilson McGahee. Throw in Clinton Portis.
What the hell is that?
You got Sean Alexander.
Nah.
Yeah. No, if you're going to throw Edelman, you got to throw in him. They just want to throw a wide receiver in there.
Because,
let's be honest.
Because the thing about the Basketball Hall of Fame is they count
college,
Olympics.
They count full career.
No, they count full, yeah, full they count, career. They count college, Olympics, and pro.
Yeah.
And, hell,
that's
fine. I was listening to the All the Smoke podcast with C-Webb, and he didn't win no NBA Finals. He didn't win the NCAA Championship. He went to the NCAA Finals.
Called once
twice.
He called timeouts.
And fuck it. But
it happens.
Hey, my man's from Detroit, and he gave a shout out to my stepdad on the damn show.
He got him.
So,
there.
I think he's going. I think he ends up going this year after he's been a. As he's been on eligible for the ballot for bro, the last 4 years,
the NBA it's way easier to get in the NBA Hall of Fame.
But that's just it though. It's not called the NBA Hall of Fame.
It's a basketball.
Basketball Hall of Fame, which by the way allows college coaches in while they're still coaching instead of it being the Collegiate Hall of Fame, which is. I think
what the NCAA does.
Yeah, the NCAA does that whole shit.
They won't let Reggie Bush in, but they put Matt Leinart in. And
how you put Matt Leinart?
I think Dwayne Jarrett might be up too.
But what?
How you put Matt Leinart in the College Hall of Fame?
Nah, it was a Notre Dame year.
You grant Reggie his, you know, you let him come back to the crib. Boom, we got Reggie back. But you don't put him in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Bro, and like I say, man, the stuff that he did on the field is
come on, bro. It ain't been repeated.
Like he's still like it's still there. Like it's even like, bro. When I seen they were kind of like, well, Vince Young should have got the Heisman. And I was like, bro, if I was Vince Young, I wouldn't have took the Heisman.
What? Because I knew I ain't get it, bro. On everything.
Like, you played in the Big 12. The Big 12 was trash.
I can't take that away from you.
Come on now.
The Big 12 was trash.
Bro, no bullshit, bro. Reggie Bush. He has to be up next year for the NCAA Hall of Fame.
But VY is top five all time college football
player.
VY
top five.
Just what he did against Michigan and USC, the two greatest games ever, arguably back. Like bro, what he did to Michigan went under the radar.
I'm gonna give you my college top five.
Okay.
No particular order.
I saw Liz
Whatever happened in Michigan, I don't want to hear
it. I saw Liz had Noel Devine on it and it got me upset.
No particular order.
Okay.
Reggie Bush.
Okay.
Okay.
Michael Vick.
All right.
Let's go. Come on.
As far as history.
Oh, because I'm ready to jump in this one.
That's a nostalgia pick.
Shut up.
Reggie Bush, Mike Vick. Number, I'm going to go with... I'm going to have to go with Peter Warwick.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
All right. Only for college.
Deion.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right.
And then lastly,
this might hold your list together.
Lastly, hold on. Because he didn't even say two of mine.
Lastly, I'm going to have to go
he said one of mine, but not two.
The name that's sticking out the most is Bo Jackson.
Huh? That's cheating, though. That's like. Everybody's gonna say Bo.
Not
that's
everybody.
If you don't say Bo, you're on drugs.
Bullshit. You put VY in your top five, though.
Come on. Wait.
We're gonna go to circle.
So, DP, you went. KB, you next. Me. And then we're gonna end it with Mike the Trainer. Come on. Go. All
right, so.
look.
And I hate Texas with a passion.
I bet you do, like a lot of people.
And like seriously, just the last 2 weeks, I've been shitting on Texas. It's like one of the worst. Like their song, the song they have, like, and they bullied their players into singing it.
Yeah. Anyway.
So Reggie, VY,
Okay,
Tebow.
What the fuck?
I have to.
Cool.
He did a lot.
All right.
It was either him or Cam. I wanted to say Cam.
I was thinking Cam, too. I ain't going to stunt.
All right, come on.
But he did it to him. Like, Tebow, you can't knock what Tebow did.
Fact.
Yeah.
Because that's a different list if we're talking that. So I said, I got those three, right?
Yeah.
Now,
the last two spots.
Okay.
The final two.
I'm not counting anybody before 1980 because that's just obvious. Like, those guys should all be in.
Yeah.
Saying Bo is too easy. I'm talking about modern era. And obviously, Deion's on the list.
Do you count Barry Sanders in the modern era?
Yes.
Well, that's the case. I'm putting Deion and Barry on that list.
Okay, then. There's your last two.
You're doing
modern day. Because we say what? We say what?
Okay,
the past 30
let's,
years.
Let's clarify.
Your earliest player was Peter Warwick.
Let's clarify.
I'm born in 92. So
let's clarify.
I
was born in 91. We'll go from my life on.
That's okay, fair. Me too. Okay, that's from my life on.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Fair.
So from 90 on.
So I still got two left.
All right, yes.
So, okay. I'm going to go. I said Reggie.
Yep.
VY.
Yep.
I'm going to throw in Cam.
Tebow. You said Tebow. So you
okay, I'm gonna take out Cam because okay. I can't. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
So I got Tebow, VY,
Tebow, Reggie,
VY,
VY,
Deshaun Watson.
All right.
Okay. He got killed in the Alabama game. He got
A lot of people did.
No. Reuben Foster should have been ejected for when he hit him. Like, he should have been ejected. But he did that. He broke Nick Saban's dynasty. So I have to put him 4.
Okay.
5. This one is kind of tough because it feels like a toss-up.
I mean, there's plenty you can truly choose from.
Come on. I feel bad.
Go ahead.
And I got to pick somebody from the Miami Hurricanes.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
I'm full of crap.
Go ahead.
I'm picking. He's my personal favorite. I think he's an NFL Hall of Famer. Andre Johnson.
What? Oh.
Okay.
I didn't see that one coming. Okay.
Whatever.
All right. So he's physically unstoppable.
Because we had to go
more than Calvin.
I got to remove Bo Jackson. I'm replacing Bo Jackson with Tavon Austin.
What? Wow. That was what I was afraid of. That's trash.
All right. So wait.
Bro, what?
Denard Robinson. You know what? I'm
taking Denard Robinson.
You not see what Shoelace did?
Oh, fuck
you.
We're going to act like
Shoelace did.
I'm from Michigan.
No.
He got us a sugar bowl.
You got to leave.
West Virginia had no defense,
you gotta leave.
That was a gimmick offense.
I'm from Michigan. I won't
pick Denard. Tavon and Shoelace are on the same level.
No.
Okay. Because one of them made the cover.
Okay, but let's be honest, though.
Tavon Austin.
Okay.
Shoelace.
Let's be real. Percy Harvin's better than Tavon Austin.
Yes.
Percy Harvin made those Florida teams.
Right. No, yes. 100%.
Because Percy's on my list.
Okay, go ahead. What's your list?
I want Percy on my list.
Since you mentioned him already, Percy's on my list.
Okay.
Without being in order.
So I'm torn.
Percy, Reggie, VY.
You put VY on your list, too?
Yes.
He
beat USC by
himself. Charles Woodson.
Cool story, bro.
God damn
That's
it.
That's a nostalgia pick, and I feel like it shouldn't count.
I don't think it should be on there either, but continue.
That's after 91.
No, yeah, I'm not talking year. I'm talking skill.
That was a weak year.
I'm talking
impact. He was the only defensive player to win the Heisman.
Cool story, bro. Continue.
Wow. Tennessee won a national title the next year without Peyton Manning.
Keep going.
Randy Moss would have cooked Charles Woodson at Marshall.
Buddy, next two.
They weren't even D1 yet.
Go ahead.
They were 1AA.
You got it. You got it.
All right. So if I have to take Charles off the list,
no, keep Charles. You wanted him.
Yeah, you got him.
I
got him.
I said Andre Johnson. So you know,
it's cool.
I'm gonna live with it.
I was gonna say Tegan Jr. for my 5th.
Oh wow! Now you don't. Now you.
Whoa,
you need to leave too,
bro. You gotta shave, bro. Get out. Right, tag in.
That man got injured by jumping.
I would have respected you if you said Troy Smith, bro.
I'll say Joe Burrow.
Yeah, like
I'll take Andre Johnson and put Joe Burrow in.
Mike, what's yours? What you got?
First, even though I might be a little biased with this one, I think he got snubbed for the Heisman.
He did.
Tyrann Mathieu.
He did.
In my top 5, the Honey Badger for sure.
Okay.
I have to go with Cam because I seen what he did, you know, personally against LSU. I was actually at that game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As a youngin' when he ran away from Patrick Peterson. The way he came back on Alabama in the Iron Bowl. And really thinking about it, he really didn't have that much help either.
He had nobody.
Trash.
He had nobody.
Of course, you got to throw in Tebow, man, just because of the great things that he did with Florida, the lead that he was in. Even the role model he was. I'm going to tell you something. I remember talking to my homeboy who was an Auburn fan, my business partner Matt. He's an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
I remember talking to the dude and I was like, man, I just can't wait for LSU to get that dude. Like, who's that dude? Like, we didn't have that dude in a long time. Like, we thought Lenny was that dude, which he was, but he didn't bring that Heisman to us.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow was nasty, boy.
I have to. People saying, I'm like, Joe Burrow came, he went like 19 touchdowns, 5 picks.
He went crazy.
To 60.
Came back, and I'm like, dude, like, you couldn't, bro, nobody imagined that.
You know who's an honorable mention, though?
He made me a believer. So I got to throw Joe Burrow at 4.
Yeah.
And like I say, man, my greatest player of all time, obviously, in college football, I'll let Reggie Bush go ahead and kind of, you know, mix that up at the end with it.
But you know who's, like, honorable mention from a college standpoint, you know, outside of what they've done in their pro career?
Oh.
To me, Melvin Gordon.
Man, Wisconsin.
I said honorable mention, bro.
Monty Ball went crazy.
He did.
He didn't do nothing in the league.
He did win a Heisman out
I mean, a lot of Wisconsin guys don't do anything illegal.
Hey, Christian McCaffrey should be somewhere Christian in the top McCaffrey. 10.
Okay,
no
wait,
bullshit. He put Stanford on his back.
Okay, wait,
no bullshit. He should have won the Heisman. And I don't say that about white running backs. He should have won
the
Heisman.
My thing with Christian McCaffrey, so the...
He's what McGuffey was supposed to be.
Yes.
No. Oh, my God. McGuffey, bro.
No, McGuffey went crazy.
He went crazy
in high school, and he got to Michigan, and like nothing happened.
Went crazy at Michigan.
He went crazy at Michigan, and he went to Rice and went crazy again.
But my thing...
Nobody remembers it.
My thing with McCaffrey, he's a fantastic pro. I saw him...
He's cold, period.
He is. Filthy. I saw Stanford versus UCLA his last year at Stanford.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the one game he didn't put up 100 yards. And that's, I was just like, what the hell?
It's cool.
Because I went to that game, like, expecting him to go for, like, 220.
Bro, you should have a nice defense every once in a while. And I hate
that was Josh Rosen's last year,
too. Eric Kendrick, Todd Barr, like.
Oh, yeah, they went crazy.
UCLA had dogs at linebacker.
I got UCLA gear in the closet just because I was, like, around.
Don't talk about it, though.
Yeah, don't mention it. This is a USC station.
It's Trojans.
Relax.
You see the wristband? Stop playing with me, boy.
Hey, I'll take free gear from anybody, bro.
I'm trying to be like that dude who got... caught, like,
what?
You know, you're about to do that USC?
Oh, yeah, the homeless dude.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Bro, he ate with them. He showered. He practiced with them.
Was returning punts.
He had shoulder pads and all that on. He was returning punts for them, bro.
Security was like, hey, we know you.
Security was like, oh, what's up? Like, he was eating with the players and everything.
Based on where USC is at, like, I can see how you can get away with that.
I'm going to be real, bro. I don't see how it happened.
It's USC.
I do not see
it's
how
USC,
it happened.
It's USC, though.
In a pandemic, they shouldn't.
Y'all don't know this man.
Who man is this?
Nobody cares. That means Clay Helton.
That's crazy, bro.
Security knew.
That means Clay Helton means nothing. Bro, he went out. He practiced with them, bro. Like,
he did it on the soccer field, too.
Are you kidding me? The man put on shoulder pads and a helmet with them, dog.
And they still don't know where he at, allegedly.
I don't get how that happens, bro. How does that... Let me pull up to SC then. Let me pull up
to our Chargers practice. I'm a long snapper.
If it's that easy, let me try it.
You're a long snapper.
I'm a long snapper, bro.
I'm gonna go the whole way though. I'm gonna go to meetings. I'm gonna go to the game. Like, I'm gonna go the whole way.
I'm gonna draft a free agent.
Bro,
I'm gonna
be in film session answering questions. Like, yeah, I gotta sink when I'm in cover two because the seven cut might come behind me.
They're like, you play L7?
I want all the work,
bro. Like, they gonna be like, damn, he kind of cold. Like, 36. Damn, it's gonna have some random ass name. But man, it's been a good ass show. We gonna go ahead and wrap it up with what we hating on.
Cause KB has something to get off his chest.
This is Mark's favorite segment, bro.
Hold on, wait. God damn it. Where is Ice-T at?
Ice-T's in the middle, bro.
There we go.
So basically, whatever
you feel like situation is kind of like sketchy, you ain't really feeling it. You say that's who you hate.
We haven't done this in almost a year.
KB, we gonna start with you.
Because you text me early this week like, hey, man, I got something to get off my chest. Go!
Who you hating on?
Okay, one is like a quick aside, and the other is what I'm going to really get into. I talked about it last night.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You out here retweeting your own tweets.
Sir. No, but then it was commented on by the person that tweeted.
Did you just retweet your own stuff?
Homie shared a tweet, his own tweet, and commented to... And responded to himself.
How is it 100 if you got a retweet?
I was baffled. How you respond to you?
That's 98, bro. That's actually 99 because somebody responded.
That's $3 bill, bro.
Yeah, that's $2.50 plus tax. That don't add up. But my bigger one is the whole issue with Justin Fields.
Haters, bro.
And black QBs. Now they're not just outwardly saying, because they can't say it, because there's too many dynamic athletes playing quarterback who are going to eventually all be black, and they got to get these fossils out the league. That's why Tom Brady's hanging on as long as he is, because
He the last of a dying breed.
Exactly. And he can hang on and be protected by a bunch of people. That's why I'm like, Edelman's not a Hall of Famer, because he was never, like, you could take him off a team
and they still be great.
They throw in the Gronk. Yeah. Like, if you need 100 catches to get 1,000 yards, you probably you slow. You ain't it.
Yeah.
And you going up against linebacker, whatever. But anyway, bottom line is, if Julian Edelman was black, we wouldn't say he's a Hall of Famer. The media wouldn't come out and say that. But they're like, oh, Adam Schefter said he revolutionized the slot receiver position.
Whoa,
I was like, what? Jerry Rice arguably was the slot receiver. If we're really talking,
if we separate Jerry Rice, bro, there's no slot god. There is no slot god. Who can you say? Yeah, who can you say is the best slot receiver?
TJ who?
Nah, he was the number two.
TJ who's Mazar was the number two.
But sometimes he plays slot. It was sometimes.
Fitz, yeah,
what? Or any day, I'll take Wes over. Edelman,
Fitz could
day.
Be a slot god because he mastered his craft as a receiver. Who? Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Larry
Fitz. He's a better comparison to Edelman than Calvin Johnson when he was trying to do
but
that.
He's just bigger.
He's bigger. He wasn't he's as better. Fast.
I mean, bigger, faster, stronger.
I mean, he's kind of like the past 6 years been padding stats, but we're not going to count
it's
that.
Cool.
And he's not better than T.O. But anyway,
he not.
When it comes to black QBs, if Trevor Lawrence was black, they'd find something negative to say about him.
Yes.
And they won't. And
Trey Lance, they're trying to hype him up as a wedge.
That's why I said colorism.
To down, they're about the same complexion, bro.
They both black.
They both light skinned,
black
dark.
Dudes.
They're
about, both caramel, bro.
Yeah, they're the same.
It's Trey Lance that played at North Dakota, South Dakota State.
It's only North Dakota State because they beat everybody, but they don't actually bump up to D1 because they know they would get clapped. They would get clapped. So when it comes to black QBs, I'm really hating on the fact that a lot of these people just won't come out and say, like, yo, I don't know how to evaluate young black talent.
Because
America
so
doesn't value or respect black people. Why should we expect these people who are talking about these black players in a disrespectful and disparaging fashion to then respect them? Like, they called Johnny Manziel God when he came out of college. If you watch Johnny Manziel against Alabama, Mike Evans had 300 receiving yards, bro. Nobody was covering Mike Evans.
Hey, and when Johnny Manziel came into the league, Drake was on his tip, and then Johnny Manziel became a bust, and then Drake
was a curse within himself.
Oh, I got shit to say about Drake.
But bottom line is, like, stop disrespecting black QBs. Yes, Ohio State hasn't had a history with quarterbacks, but it's a different era now.
Yeah.
You look at Clemson, like, Trevor Lawrence may have been a better prospect than Deshaun Watson.
But Deshaun was a better player.
Exactly. Like, Taj Boyd wasn't a better player
than
either of these guys.
Yeah.
But he broke the mold. Like, C.J. Spiller is the Clemson's running back coach.
Hey,
there's no Travis Etienne.
Etienne
without C.J. Spiller.
Facts.
Louisiana kid, man.
C.J. Spiller from Louisiana?
Oh, yeah.
No, Travis Etienne.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's like, The hatred and the disrespect and the passive aggressiveness. That's why I don't listen to Bill Polian. Because a lot of people need to apologize to Lamar Jackson. They haven't done it yet.
And they not.
But like everybody acting like Josh Allen is the next great thing. First off, all Sean McDermott did was look at how badly Ron Rivera ruined Cam Newton. Said, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'm going to build around Josh Allen the way I should have built around Cam Newton. And I'm going to give him Stephon Diggs in his prime.
He gave him Stephon Diggs in his prime.
And I'm going to go get, and they might get a running back.
Sleep on how good that Buffalo defense is.
What? Their defense is crazy.
Every year.
Like, man, not taking nothing away from Josh Allen, because I think he is a great talent, big, strong arm. But like you said, you gave him Stephon Diggs, man. You know, y'all guys, y'all did some things. Like I say, also another LSU man.
Tre'Davious White.
Should have been a Raider. He should have been a Raider.
Like I say, man, y'all got
both of y'all Raiders fans. So y'all can have it.
Going crazy.
Both of y'all can have it.
Mike, who you hating on?
Man, I'm going to go with my dude, man. I've been seeing a lot of criticism. You know, me being a fan, wanting to see him do great. But me also watching the podcast of I Am Athlete and seeing which dude with the dreads name, man?
Shannon Crowder,
bro. Seeing how he did Cam, and it's kind of like, man.
Facts.
Everybody who's hating on Cam, dude. Because it's kind of like, man, like, I understand Cam hasn't been Cam lately.
Yeah.
But this last season, and also me being a Patriots fan, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, We didn't have no preseason. You know, with the COVID year, everything was crazy. Cam started out hot. You know, we ended up taking Seattle to last minute. Also, the Buffalo game, which he did fumble towards the end of the game.
But yeah.
I think people didn't really look at how much he really carried our team, dude. You know, we had some pieces missing also. But my biggest thing is, man, it's kind of like, I hate the what have you done for me now. You know, yeah. It's kind of like, man, like, y'all don't respect, like, the grind. And from the outside looking in, it does look like, man, Cam Newton sucks and this and that. But like he said, man, I had to learn a 20-year system within 6 months.
Literally.
You know what I'm saying? You know, with no OTAs. Like he said, man, I caught COVID. That train kept moving. And,
yeah.
You know, I still had to come back and catch up. New lingo, new everything. So, man, yeah, you know, like he said, as far as, like, all the black quarterback thing, too, man, like, I'm hating on that. Real talk, you know, I feel like color shouldn't play a role in it, you know what I'm saying? You know, like I actually had a sports talk with some of my peers about the Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields thing. And I was kind of like, bro, to me, I feel like you can't go wrong with either one. Like I said, I feel like Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But also, and it had, hey, Justin Fields came back his last year, bro, this past year, and he did some amazing things. He did his thing, bro. And if you even look at the year that they lost, that last touchdown when he threw that interception, dude, it really was him and the receiver miscommunication.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying he's the most perfect quarterback, but we can't sit here and come on, man, and try to put this BYU kid in front of him who really hasn't played.
Yeah, bro. He had really I one year, bro.
From him either. I think he's a great talent also. But
yeah.
Come on, man. Like, I just don't like the disrespect that Justin Fields is getting after all the things that he really has accomplished on that field, man. So, yeah, man, like, dude, I'm a second that. That's what I'm hating on, too, you know?
Facts, facts, facts. Man, who I'm hating on, man? I'm hating on... What I'm hating on, man? I'm really just hating on the fact that black athletes just ain't getting they just due, man. They not getting... When it comes to them really, you know what I'm saying, just they produce, you know what I'm saying? They do what they supposed to do at the college level. The media, I'm hating on the media. The media tends to find the smallest thing and try to create some sort of negative story behind it, no matter what it is. So I think that when it comes to that, I mean, of course, it's out of our control, but just considering, you know what I'm saying, what we've experienced as a culture over the past few years, you would think that the media would have a better understanding of just allowing, one, kids to be kids, because at the end of the day, these is college kids, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's not only happening to them, but it's also happening on a professional level as well. So I think that when it comes to that, just allow them to be them in the space that they in. Like, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no need to try to tamper with it. Ain't no need to try to dig deep and create some sort of negative narrative to where now you done infringed on this person's opportunities. You done infringed on their money. You know what I'm saying? So I think the media just needs to show more humility, which, you know, it might not ever happen. But I think that's for sure what I'm hating on. I'm hating on the media.
For shizzle. And to top it off, while you talk about, you know, hating on the media, one media member in particular,
hey, Skip Bayless, what up?
Oh,
I definitely quote tweet him, you know, like, at least once a day.
Gunshots?
Where is it?
There's a shotgun blast right there.
There you go.
Skip Bayless, hey, I just want you to respond to at least something that I say, because you come through with the bullshit every damn day. Also, I was listening to the All the Smoke podcast.
Yeah.
And they had an episode that dropped on April 1st with Detroit hooping legend Chris Webber.
Yeah.
Gave a shout out to a relative of mine. But if you listen to the episode, he talks about how he initially wanted to go to Michigan State over U of M.
Yeah.
And he took a recruit visit to the University of Minnesota. And somebody
because University of Minnesota was playing MSU in a football game.
Yeah.
Took a picture of him shaking hands with somebody from University of Minnesota. Sent it to the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
As a way to force C-Wed to go to, you know, MSU. Like, hey, you know, it won't be any problems. Just come here.
Yeah.
And as a Michigan fan, I'm hating on MSU. Because you could have had C-Wed, but you had a donor who just wanted to be petty. And C-Wed was taking a recruit visit, you know, just out of like, hey, thanks for looking at me, but I ain't coming here. You know, you messed it all up for you. So you could have not had, you could have ruined the whole entire Fab Five, but because you didn't, thank you. But I'm also hating on you because you MSU and you just always forever little brother in the state of Michigan, motherfuckers.
Trash, you mean? Ugly uniforms?
Shout out to my cousins that all went to MSU. PC, Ashley, Jasmine.
This man has names in his head.
Right.
This man has a ledger. Man,
oh, actually, no. We in the group chat
the
every day.
The Bucky Barnes side of the game.
Right. We in the group chat every day. Like, it's them three because they all went to MSU because they from GR. They from Grand Rapids and whatnot. And then the rest of us, we from the east side of Michigan. So it's my aunt Keela in it, my mother in it, I'm in it, Taylor in it, Sydney in it, Dion in it, MJ in it. Oh, hey, no, the rest of us, we in it. But, hey, go blue, baby.
Man, hey, shout out to the what
you. That's why I dated girls that went to Michigan on, anyway.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute since we went ahead and done that. But, man, Mike, KB, appreciate y'all. Mike, go ahead and tell the people where they can find you, man.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you can follow us, the whole company, man, at Zone Early Athletics _, man, on Instagram and Facebook. You know, we post videos daily, man, of our athletes progressing, you know, motivational things also, you know, just in case you just need to see something to get your day going, get your blood flowing, get you in a good mood, good spirit. And, man, like I said, I want to thank y'all for having me, man.
You already know.
If y'all need me again, let me know. Free to do it whenever, dude. You know what I'm saying? Y'all boys be easy, man. Stay safe out there, dude. And keep doing what y'all do, dude. Keep doing it, man. Keep pushing, dude. Keep pushing, man.
Hey, we appreciate it, bro. Cheers. For real.
You know,
bro.
Black on fire, you know what it is.
You on here one time, you a part of the family, bro. You know, so whenever, man. Shout out to Nola. Saying? We for sure gonna have to get you back on here again. Like I said, appreciate you hopping on. KB, where we can find you at?
Alright, so touchdownsandtandems.com. My Twitter, Ozio Grande. Sometimes I tweet, sometimes
you tweet all the fucking time. Shit.
It be retweets though. I be subtweeting my ass off. Cause when I really tweet.
And what day does your show come on?
Friday. No, I'm tripping. Wow.
Look at today, Friday.
Thursday. When we republish it with our title, when we go live every Thursday at 8 p.m., Good News Sports, Good News Radio app.
Yeah,
Touchdowns and Tangents, and my homie Pete.
Yeah.
Pete!
The NFL draft party is coming up.
Pete's a Clippers fan, by the way.
Y'all are invited. I'm disgusted, but don't remind me of that.
Appreciate
He's a Padres fan, too.
Huh? Tragic.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, the Padres, when I first moved to California, were living like my lovable losers, but, you know.
Man, we as always, we appreciate the Good News fan pulling up, man.
Appreciate y'all for having me.
You know what I'm saying? It's been, y'all know where to find us at, you know what I'm saying? D Presley
14. We're going to talk after the show because I know you got more to spit.
D _ Presley 14 on the Twitter, you know what I'm saying? Get at me, you know what I mean? You know, Mark, where you at?
Instagram _ Mark Keenan, MarkKeenan. Twitter, Sports Talk Mark 7.
And well, you got a long ass username. Oh, so I tried to find you, bro. That shit was like, bro. I was like, bro, I'm not going. Like,
that shit long as hell.
That's a long ass name. Which that's one? Like my rap name. My rap name ain't that long.
Oh, hey, what's your rap name?
We love y'all.
Ozo Grande.
We appreciate y'all. We gonna let them have this combo on the air.
Wait, what?
But we going to holler at y'all next time we see y'all, man.
From the Bay, I
call us out.
I swear to God, G.
Yo, username says Rallo, bro.
Appreciate you, bro. I'm going to tap in with you.
It's not my username.
You too, bro. You already know.
All right, gang.
Rallo Goodlow's financial advisor.
Bro, that's a long-ass name.